everyone. It's so good to see you, as well as a joy to be with those who are listening at home. I want to invite you can take out your Bibles. We'll be in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, and you can take out your message notes as well. And I was thinking there can be no transformation without information on many fronts. I think that especially is true about life. And without question, the greatest intel available to us on the planet comes from God and His Word. And so it's a privilege, it's a joy to come and hear God's Word, I think, each week and on a daily basis. And especially with today's choice that we want to talk about, we're going through this series on the strong choices that we need to make. And I want to talk with you about the choice of worship today. Worship isn't just limited to church. You could worship sports. You could worship food. People worship their stuff. Some people clean their cars more than they clean themselves, okay? People could worship a celebrity. Some people like celebrities more than they like their own family, although the celebrity don't even know their name. Some people worship athletes. Some people worship money. We worship, we don't even realize it that we do. Worship is a regular part of our life. And all of those things, it's fine to like certain things, but the interesting thing about that list that I share with you, some of them are a part of a top 10 list in America. None of those things are eternal, by the way. But one of the things that we want to focus on today is that we want to have a correct worship of God. Now, when we talk about worshiping God, what do people typically think about? Music. Music is one of the expressions of worship, but not the only one. You worship God when you give. You worship God when you help people. You worship God when you obey your parents. You worship God when you serve. You worship God when you pray, when you fast. You worship God by not being rude to somebody. You worship God by caring and being compassionate. Worship is like a diamond in that it's multifaceted. And really, when you think about worship, it really comes down to one word that I want to share with you, and it's the word priority. And so right there on the top of your outline, here is the choice of worship. Why don't we say it together? Choose to make God the center priority of my life. Now, how many of you ever rode a bike before? Okay. Most of us have. Now, obviously, there's lots of cool trick bikes. I've had trick bikes growing up. I've had mountain bikes now. As you get older, you transition from the trick bikes to the mountain bikes, as you know, and then you go from a bicycle. Eventually, when we're real old, we go and we have a wheelchair and we don't have a bicycle anymore. That's how we get. But I remember having tricked out wheels on my bike, okay, and making it possible to do certain tricks and making sure I had a certain type of rim. You know, when you think about priorities, it's a lot like a bicycle wheel. And on a bicycle wheel, you have different spokes. And the spokes plug into what I believe is one of the most important parts of a bicycle, which is called the hub. And the spokes plug into the hub. And I think God is that. God is the hub of our life. And the spokes are all those other priorities that are important. And to illustrate that for you, to illustrate spokes, I brought up a couple of these spikes here. And, you know, they're different sizes because in our minds, you know, family is one size and work could be one size. And maybe there's a hobby that we have and that's a priority in our life. In reality, they're all the same size, and we sometimes want to put them in a position, but really the best thing for us to do is to plug all of our spokes into God. He's the hub of our life, and all of those other priorities, all of those good priorities in your life, family, work, so forth and on, when they are plugged into the hub, when they are plugged into God, your life will run not smoothly, I'm not promising that, but definitely more effectively, because true worship is about making God the center priority of your life. Worship isn't about having the greatest voice in the church, or having the best church attendance, or giving the most money, or having the most talents, all those things that we typically celebrate as being the ultimate send-off for worship. True worship is making God the center priority of your life. And even studying this word worship in both Greek and Hebrew, what comes back time and time again is that worship is our reverence and our respect for God. Notice what it says here in Psalm 25, 14. Why don't we say this verse together? Friendship with God is reserved for those who revere Him. With them alone, he shares the secrets of his promises. Reverence and respect, we want to have that for God. Well, it can't be if God, you know, see, the thing is that if God is number one today because it's Sunday, you know, tomorrow he might be number two or three or four. He needs to be the center of our life. He is the hub of our life. And that's how it has to be. It can't just be a once a week type of commitment that we have to God, that he's a one time a week or four time a month priority to us. It needs to be greater than that. I heard this this kind of playful story about one day the devil and a bunch of his demon pals were hanging outside of a large city church, and they could hear the music blaring, and then they heard the sermon, and they could hear people afterwards fellowship and having fun and eating and talking. And somebody who was passing by said to the devil, he said, "Doesn't it bother you that all these people go to church and they're having such a great time?" And then with a demonic laugh, him and his demons that were hanging out with them said, "Oh, that's okay. That's just for 1 hour. That, you know, that's just a bad habit that they've incurred. But they leave it here the rest of the week. They're all mine." You know, and that sometimes describes you and I. Maybe it's not just 1 week. It might just be once a month. It might just be once a quarter. The fact of the matter is that worship is not just limited to 1 hour at church or an occasional holiday visit. It's much greater than that. It's making God the center priority of our life. So whether you are a teenager, just about hit your teens, whether in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, no matter what age you are, God always needs to be the hub of your life. And I would go as far to say, especially if you are in school right now, it's only getting more aggressive, more evil, more hard. The times aren't getting better, they're getting worse. There's never been more of a need for God to be the hub of your life. We are inundated with lies. We are constantly being bombarded. You wonder why we are the most... Listen, we're supposed to be the most peaceful generation, right? We're supposed to have it easy. We live in the greatest technological age of all time. But we are the most stressed out bunch. I mean, any concern is legitimate. But right now, we're out of toilet paper right now because everybody's crazy about a virus. Our hope is in God, not in a virus. And again, does it minimize it? It's just our hope is in God. So even though we have all these things at our fingertips, we've never been more of a crazed generation. I often think that if my grandfather was living, what would he think of some of these things today? You know, social media. Today, with the craze of all these things and how people go nuts over all these things. You know, again, where are we going? And possibly, is it because God is no longer the hub? I think that's it. And that is a clear and present danger for this generation, and if the Lord tarries, for the generations to come. God needs to be your hub. The greatest example of that is Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1, we read something very beautiful about Jesus. Because you would think, Jesus, you know, he don't need to pray. He did. And if Jesus, and the reason why I use Jesus, because you can use other examples in the Bible. I use Jesus because if Jesus could pray, then we better be praying. If Jesus could be making God the hub of his life, then you better believe we need to be doing it. There will not be any breakthrough in our life if God is not going to be the hub. Listen, God is a God of miracles. He's a God of provision. He's a God of favor. You are a child of the Most High God. You will not experience and see all of that if God isn't the hub of our lives. And so let's look at how we revere him, and let's not get caught up in the ancillary facts of worship. Let's look at the main. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is God. He's the hub of our life. So let's look at it. Let's dive into it here. It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, let's look at the first part of this verse. It says, very early in the morning. Can you say that with me? Very early in the morning. Any morning people here? Okay, I can tell some of you aren't. Okay. Now, whether you're a morning person or not, you have to get up to go to work in the morning. You have to get up to go to school in the morning. You have to get up and take care of the baby in the morning. Maybe take care of a parent in the morning. Maybe you take a medication in the morning. Listen, there's lots of reasons to get up in the morning. The greatest reason to get up in the morning is to meet with God. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Now, very early in the morning, at what time did Jesus go to bed the night before? Did he go to bed at 8 o'clock? Go to bed at 9 o'clock? And did he get a, you know, a big sleep? Actually, the context reveals that they were outside, they were by Peter's house, and there were crowds upon crowds that gathered, and Jesus was healing and teaching. By the estimation of this context, he didn't go to bed till well after midnight. When did he go to bed? 1, 2 o'clock in the morning? I don't know. But very early in the morning, the Bible says this, while it was still dark. You ever get up early and you thought it was maybe you have to get up at 6 o'clock and the sun's up by then, but you got up at 4 and you're like, well, wait a minute, I got 2 more hours. Some of you got to get up at 4:30 in the morning when the sun's not up yet. Now, the fact of the matter is that while it was still dark, he got up and he went out. So he didn't just get up and lay in bed. He didn't check his social media feed. He didn't do any of that. He got up and he was ready to go. He went and went out. And I want to tell you that this is something very practical. If God is going to be the center of your life, write this first principle down. Establish a time with preparation. Can you say that with me? Establish a time with preparation. A lot of times we have trouble getting out of the house because we can't find our keys. Does anybody lose their keys routinely? I do too. I'm going to start a new group, a support group for I Can't Find My Keys group, okay? We're going to have sign-ups next week, okay? It's probably going to be the most popular group in the history of groups here at the church, okay? Now, obviously, we have a lot of responsibility on our plate, but simply preparing ourselves for worship of God goes a long way. And if we could prepare ourselves the night before by having the first part of our day in order, before we even get up, that will help you find more time with God in the morning. Knowing where this is, putting this out, having this ready to go, then you can get up 15 or 20 minutes earlier to spend time with God. Jesus, after a busy day of work, got up very early in the morning and he was able to get out on time. He was spending time with God. Time is your most precious and most important commodity. And you want to use it, obviously, wisely. Spending time with God becomes, without question, a linchpin in your walk with God. You know, not only did Jesus spend time, but there were other early risers in the Bible. Abraham spent time with God early in the morning. Moses, Hannah, Jacob, David, they all met with God early in the morning. Now, that makes sense. Now, you can meet with God throughout the day. Daniel and David met with God 3 times during the day. But here's the reason why you want to do it early in the morning. Because life is so difficult, so hard, so many things can stress you out, so many things can tempt you, so many things can come at you. If you could spend time with God before you go to work, but before you get ready and all those types of things, what it could do is that it could put you in a state of mind that is humble and that is honoring to God and that is helpful when those unpredictable difficulties do indeed come your way, because they're going to come. Now, when we talk about preparation and being with God and time with God, it is an issue of time management. And isn't it interesting that in the Bible we're told that it's something that we got to learn? Look what it says here in Psalm 90, verse 12. Why don't we say this verse together? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now, underline that phrase, so teach us. We got to be teachable when it comes to time. Naturally, we waste time. As you get more mature, you get a job, all of a sudden, you become more responsible with time, right? We've all gone through this cycle of life. You have kids, all of a sudden, now you realize your time is no longer your time. You have grandkids, same thing. So as your responsibilities in life increase, you become more conscious about time. But naturally, it goes against the grain because we're selfish people. We want to spend all of our time on ourselves. And so that's why things like family and work and so forth and on in church help you and I to become more mature, to grow up, and to be less self-focused. But at our heart, we're still driven to make what we want to be the center priority. We need God to teach us. We need to be wise with our time. Even when it comes to church, we want to come prepared. Now, there's going to be times we just have to slip in because of this or that, the other thing. But wouldn't it be great if we could organize our morning? And by the way, this service starts late. Wait till we had a 9 o'clock service, okay? 9, 11, 6. And so you have all these services to choose from to accommodate the church and the people. But whatever time service that you're going to come to, my humble recommendation would be is to come a little bit early so you could begin to fellowship with God. Maybe you might see somebody or something like that. You want to maximize your time, and you want to be in the frame of mind that you're going to worship. And so you do this with preparation. You want to guard your Sunday. I've been a big proponent of this for years, whether it was with kids with sports or other activities on the island. I tell legislators all the time, they could tell you the politicians, go make a blue law up. Keep Sunday sacred. You want to see problems change? You want to see walls broken down? Make God the center here on the island. That's what it's about. When you honor God, you could expect the favor of God. You can have that in your home. You can have that on the job. And you can have we have been a blessed nation, not because we're great people. We have been a blessed nation because this is a Christian nation. Now, there are those who try to, arm twist that away. We understand that, try to rewrite the history books. But you can't white out, you can't erase what God has done. And it's vital, if we're going to continue to be a free nation, that we honor God. I saw a beautiful picture the other day of a police officer. You may have seen it. It went viral. And he had parked his car, and it was just about when he was starting his tour, the story says. And he went to this school where I guess there's been a lot of trouble going on. And there he was at the pole with his hand on the pole, praying for the nation and for students. We need more of that because God is the hub. God needs to be the hub of your parenting. He needs to be the hub of your finances. He needs to be the hub of your life. God needs to be the center priority. And it's vital that we think this way. Jesus did it. We need to do it. God needs to be more than just an experience that we have and express on a Sunday. The great George Bonner of the Bonner Group did some research, and in his book, he released some of these statistics. It's called Experience God in Worship. And he said this, that surveying millions of people in America who go to church every week, they said that the reason they go is not for worship of God, but for experience. Even some churches advertise themselves that way. We have this experience and that experience and this experience. Now, nothing wrong with experiences, but it's not about us. It's about God. And when God is made to be the main thing, our faith is emboldened. We have a deeper sense of peace, a deeper sense of courage. We're more committed. We're more generous. We're more benevolent. We are become the people that God has willed and created us to be when we establish time with preparation, when God is the hub. Write this second principle down. Pick a place. Can you say that with me? Pick a place. You got to have a place that you meet God. Now, for some people, it might be their house early in the morning. It might be a chair that you sit in. You got to have your place where you go to hang out with God, where you go to spend time with God. It might be in your backyard. It might be on the bus on your way to work because your house is so crazy and you can't get a moment, wherever it might be. Some people meet with God in the bathroom because they got to go. We live in Staten Island. We don't have large homes or large yards. We don't have a meadow to go out in and to meet with God. So it's a little bit different for us than other people. Most of us don't have extra chairs that we could sit in a study room and all those types of fancy things. So we need to be creative. We need to show a little ingenuity. But it's important that we pick a place, that we have a place that we are meeting with God in, that we're talking with God. And this is something that Jesus did, and we see throughout the Bible. Now, going back to Mark 1:35, it says, after he got up and went out, it says, and he made his way to a deserted place. And so your place needs to be an area where you are in seclusion because you're going to be distracted. You also want to leave your phone behind because you can't be looking at a verse and then let me go check this and let me go check that. The phone is a distraction. We are living in the most distracted age of all time. And so we want to pick a place where we can meet with God, and we want to begin to eliminate distractions. Jesus went to a secluded place so he could be with God. This very practical principle is a game changer. Find a place where you could be meeting with God regularly. Jesus had several places. Look what it says in Matthew 26, 36. It says, then Jesus came out with them to a what? A place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go there and what? Pray. Gethsemane happened to be one of Jesus' favorite places to go. You need a place to go. Your place to go will include a chair in your house, maybe at your kitchen table where you do your devotions in the morning, where you have your quiet time with God, where you're praying and reading something in the scripture. You're filling your mind and heart with that to set the rest of your day up. A place could also be a church. You need to have a regular place to go to church. Not having a church is the equivalent of going to war and trying to fight with a plastic fork. You need heavy artillery, and church will provide you the spiritual muscle and weaponry that you need, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of this world. My friends, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, but it doesn't say that no weapon is being formed. There's lots of weapons being formed against us, and we must be spiritually ready. We got to pick a place, got to have a church. A place is your small group, getting to know people, a small group leader or leaders able to lead you and bless you and encourage you. A daily place to come in addition to the larger group meeting, a smaller group meeting. You need a place like that. A prayer group, a support group, a grief group, and so forth and on. We need places in our life to go. Pick a place for your devotional life, for church, youth group. It's all important. It all adds up. You don't just snap your fingers and you're walking strong with God. Got to have a place. Luke 22, 39 says this, he went out and made his way as usual to the, look at that, underline that, as usual. It was a habit. To the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Flip over your notes. Look what David said. In Psalm 26, verse 8, David declared, why don't we say it together? I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your glorious presence dwells. See, in God's presence, we're told, is the fullness of life. You want to be in God's presence. Your countenance will change. You're never going to be able to overcome strongholds and struggles if you're not in God's presence. You got to meet with God. Half the battle is showing up. The devil will do more to discourage you from meeting with God in the morning, from coming to church regularly, being in a group, than anything else. We tend to blame the devil for red lights and tax letters that we get in the mail. He's got bigger fish to fry. And that includes your commitment to God. Because if he could, the old tactic of war, divide and conquer, separate you and isolate you, he could destroy you. You want to be wise to this. And you want to say, I got to be in God's place. I got to be in his sanctuary. I got to come ready to worship. You know, sadly, through the years, I have fielded a lot of complaints from people. I've always met with people. I have an open door policy. Somebody wants to get in touch with me and they have a complaint, they could voice it. They could talk after church. We could set up a meeting. We could schedule a meeting. No problem at all. And I've heard complaints and about music, about the temperature, about seats. I remember we used to meet in the public school. Oh, I got to stand on a slope. I never one time telling somebody, we were in the auditorium, I remember telling them, well, thank God we got a place to stand. They go, I didn't think of it like that. Yeah, start thinking of it like that. I remember one time somebody was complaining, oh man, you know, how come this song and how come that? And I said, you know what? Thank God we got voices to raise to God. Amen. Oh, how come the church does this and how come we do that and how come we do this? And here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with questioning things, especially if it's unbiblical. Let's fix it. But let's start focusing on being thankful for what we do have. Could it be that that's a problem today in America, isn't it, with churches? See, when we're too busy I'm watching everybody else and what they're doing, and we don't have this, and we don't have that. You know, we sound like the children that of Israel that got led out of Egypt, don't we? Speaking of which, going now to the book of Exodus, remember Moses when he met with God? Look what it says here. God said, don't come any closer. Take off your Nikes. No, take off your sandals. For here it is, say it together. For the place where you are standing is holy ground. Now, I'll make sure I have matching socks. I do, okay. So I want to take off my shoes and show you. Sometimes I don't. Take off your shoes. Now, why is that? Why do you take off your shoes? Well, it's holy ground. It's reverence. It's worship. But I think it's symbolic, too. Because when you go into God's place, it's symbolic that you're going to come in one way, but you're going to come out another way. That's the beauty of God. You're stepping into a new you. He specializes in that. And I know, like you, sometimes I go, why did I fight being committed to God in my life? It's the best thing going. But again, sometimes we get a little bratty. Exodus 13, 14, Moses said to the children of Israel, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. What has God taken you out of? Because a place is geographical. That's the church. But a place is also emotional. Maybe you were in a place of slavery years ago, a slave to sin, a slave to fear, a slave to your emotions, a slave to something in your life. You were a slave to it, but the mighty hand of God has taken you from one place and he's brought you to a greater place. But guess what? First of all, you might have to leave my shoes off. This is kind of comfortable. I'm going to leave them off, all right? I'm going to leave them off. This is kind of comfortable, okay? Here's the thing. This is what it's all about. He took you from one place and put you on high ground. He took you and I from the gutter. He took us from hell and promised us heaven. He's given us a great place to be, and we're in a great spot. Why go backwards? Why become selfish again? Pick a place. It's geographical. It's emotional. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's also mental. Look what it says in Genesis 15, 19, 20. Now, you know this story well. We've chronicled it in the past. The story of Joseph. Joseph, one of the last sons in the Bible that we learn about, Joseph and Benjamin, their brothers, not so kind. They're jealous of Joseph. They throw him a beating, dump him in a well, then they sell him into slavery. You know the story well. Goes into Potiphar's house, rises to prominence there, only to be falsely accused of something he didn't do. While he's in prison, time goes by, but there's a phrase in the book of Genesis in Joseph's life that you see that's beautiful. It says, the Lord was with him. Now, nowhere does it say that God spoke to him in an audible voice. I think that's on purpose. So a lot of times people go, God told me this, and God told me this, and God told me that. And sometimes I think, why doesn't God tell you just to sit and be still? Please. The Lord's presence was with him. We don't have an audible voice, but boy, oh boy, God was with him. And then Joseph is faithful, and we know he's elevated to be the prime minister of Egypt, basically, second in command. And those rotten brothers, years later, reads like a Lifetime movie, but it's greater. They now, a famine hits in the land, and they come into Joseph's presence. He recognizes them. They don't recognize him, but then after, they all know who each other is, and they think Joseph's going to kill them, and then listen to Joseph's response. Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. Not only is it emotional, geographical, and mental, it's also what? Spiritual. I'm in the all this time, I've been in the place of God. When I was in the bottom of a well, I was in the place of God. When I was falsely accused and left for dead in the prison, God was with me. I was in the place of God. And I'm still in the place of God as I'm the prime minister of Egypt. See, sometimes we think there's a difference between the valley and the top of the mountain. There isn't. God is with you. He's in that place. Pick a place. Pick it spiritually. Are you going to go back to where you used to be? Or are you going to live the committed life that God has called you to live in? Pick a place today. Now, the enemy doesn't want you to be in the places of God. He wants you to worship your past. He wants you to worship yourself. But God needs to be the center priority of your life. Jesus got up early in the morning, prepared himself, and met with God. He went to a secluded place because he didn't want to be distracted. My friends, are we doing that today? All of us have the same amount of time, right? Each week, each day. 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,460 seconds. Every one of them is precious to God. They need to be precious to us. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. That falls right in line with our time with God and where we choose to invest that time, the place. It's vital that we make God the center priority of our life. I told this story years ago, but I remember when we used to have the old office in Duncan Hills, I remember a lady had called, and she was a salesperson for a copy company. And she called up, and she found out, she was cold calling. And so it got to like the third question. She says, well, what business are you? I said, well, we're a church. And she goes, oh, I love church. Now, if I would have said I was an artist, she would have said, oh, I love artists, I'm sure. People do that all the time. And so we started going, and then I started to ask her questions. And I asked her, well, where do you go to church? And she started to go, hubba, 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 I go to, and she gave like four different names of churches all wrapped into one. I go to Saint this, she named all the saints in the Rolodex, basically. And I forget her name, it was years ago. And I said, I take it that you really don't have a church because you really can't get the name right. And she says, well, I don't. And I said, well, I don't know where you live. I said, but I can make a few suggestions. There's a number of good places on the island if you live on the island, or you live in Jersey, or I can help find you one if you live someplace else. But everybody needs a place to call home. And whether it's your kitchen table in the morning, or whether it's on the bus to work, whether it's this church or another Bible teaching church, you need those places in your life so that you could be all that God has willed and created for you to be. And if Jesus could do it, we can do it. And so we have to have time and preparation. We need the right place. And then, very important as we wrap this verse up, look what it says here, number three, write this down. Follow a plan. Can you say that with me? Follow a plan. We need a plan. Now, look what Jesus' plan was. And there he was what? Praying. Prayer is one of the ways that we can express ourselves to God. It's not the only way, but it's the main way. I also suggest to you that praying is not just you and I dumping on God a laundry list of all of our problems. Prayer is also listening to God. You know, the Bible doesn't say, be a gacketon with God. Be still and know that I am God. Not be a big mouth and know that I am God. Be still. Be still means to quiet down. Quiet down in God's presence. It's going to be hard for God to be a priority if all we ever do is tell him all of our problems. Not that there's anything wrong with sharing our problems with God. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's all we limit our, if all we limit our relationship with God with is crisis management, we're missing out. We need to have a plan. And so Jesus' plan was obviously, it included praying, but it wasn't limited to that. We have Jesus quoting Old Testament scripture in his messages. We have Jesus, when he was meeting on the Mount of Transfiguration, we see Moses there. Okay, we understand all of that, that it's not just limited to prayer. And so I suggest to you that obviously you want to have the Bible and you want to be meditating. You want to have a reading plan that you're doing. You want to have a devotion that you're doing. You want to have a notebook that you're taking notes with. All of these things are important, and they will contribute to your spiritual growth. And nobody could sit here today and go, oh, I already do that. Let's go on to the next thing. No, you don't graduate from that. God will show you new things. We got to fan the flame today. Great, you've been a Christian for 40 years. You've been doing it. We're going to clap for you right now, okay? Great, wonderful. Keep doing it. Keep on, keep it on. We've seen many people in the last lap kind of flame out. because they thought they knew it all. Seen it time and time again. People double and triple my age, a lot more wiser than I am. All of a sudden, we get a little prideful. And that goes for me too. We got to be humble. We got to guard our heart. We don't want to get picked off. We don't want to become somebody who gets led away by our own flesh. We want to follow God's plan, praying, reading the scriptures. We've talked about fasting, having a once a week time in your life to do that. All these things are important. And see, when we talk about doing this, adding on, it's kind of the opposite of how everybody celebrates Lent, right? It's Lent, I'm giving up chocolate, I'm giving up potato chips, I'm giving up both because I love God. Now, listen, take it easy on chocolate and chips. They didn't do anything to you, okay? But it's not about giving up sweets and treats. It's about adding more of God into your life if you want to get closer to God. As you add more God into your life, the things of God into your life, guess what? The Spirit will convict you on what needs to go bye-bye and what doesn't belong. And there are bigger issues in our life than snacks. We want to follow the plan that God has for us. It's vital that we think that way. Now, he was praying. Now, notice verse 36. It says, now Simon, that's Peter, and his companions, they went searching for him. Because, again, remember the context. We're at around Peter's house. Everybody went to bed, but guess who got up early? It's Jesus. He's not there. And there's more people there. But it says this, and when they found him, they had a search party for him. They had the Godiva dogs out. They went out searching for him. Everyone is looking for you. And, you know, this is a kind of somebody, you know, interrupting his time. There's always going to be interruptions upon your time with God. And Peter means well. And so there are bad distractions, but there are also good distractions. Everyone is looking for you. And verse 38, and he said to them, let's go on to the neighboring villages. Now, this was definitely an audible, a change in plans, because they're thinking, we're just going to stay here because his popularity is growing. This is right where we need to be. No, we're going to go to the other village so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come. Now, notice Christ is so refreshed. He's been with God. He's been praying. He knows exactly what he needs to do. He's able to balance whatever comes his way, even if it's a good suggestion, whatever it might be. He is following the purpose of God because he's following the plans of God. And that is exactly how we need to be thinking in our lives. We don't need to be getting caught up in everything else. We need to follow the plan that God has for us. And see, when we follow God's plan, we will not get caught up, as I alluded to earlier, looking at everybody else. I heard about this famous old Italian poet, Dante Alighieri. And one day when he was in church, it was the time in their liturgy when the officiant called for everybody to kneel. But he was so immersed in his prayers that he didn't kneel. Well, some of his enemies, who fancied themselves as his contemporaries, they noticed it and they went right to the bishop over the parish and wanted him to be disciplined for what they deemed as being sacrilegious. They wanted him to be excommunicated from the church. Well, Dante defended himself when it was brought before the bishop's desk, and he said this, and very interestingly, if those who accuse me had had their eyes and minds on God as I had, they too would have failed to notice what I was doing. See, the thing is that we got to follow the plan that God has so we're not looking to the left and the right. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus. We got to follow the plan that God has. Choose to make God the center priority of your life, and you will experience all that God has promised. For he promises to bless those who seek him first. Matthew 6:33 says it this way, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, pause right there for just a moment. We'll finish it before we close. I came across this interesting depiction and understanding of busyness as it relates to God. Maybe you could relate, and as way of a point of a next step, we could all make this change. The anonymous author said, I got up early one morning and rushed right into my day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. Then he answered, you didn't ask.
I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "Why, child, didn't you knock?" I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He answered me, "Because you didn't seek." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Matthew 6:33. Let's say it together in its totality. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things. As we close, Matthew 6 is the context of worship. You might recall Jesus talked about how we give to God. It's got to be what? Authentic. You can't be giving to be noticed. Then he moved on to prayer, that when we pray, we don't pray to be noticed as well. And we got to call on to God. And then he gave what? The Lord's Prayer. We got to be accurate in how we talk to God. Lots of people have very different convoluted versions of how they relate to God. We got to do it God's way. And doesn't that fit in what Jesus said in John chapter 4? Worship God in what? Spirit and in truth. Well, spirit is the accuracy. It's got to match the word of God. And that's truth. But also spirit is authenticity. It's got to be real. Then we come to the back end of chapter 6, and it talks about how don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Doesn't God take care of the lilies in the field? How much more valuable are you to God? And then Jesus said, who by worrying could add more time onto their life? And then he said this, that you'll worry less if you worship. Seek first the kingdom of God. That is making God your center priority. God has promised, seek me and you will find me. You will find favor. You will find a greater sense of faith. You will find God's hand in your life more. You'll have more peace. You'll be stronger. And most importantly, your eyes will be fixed on Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not about having a concert and celebrating ourselves. It's about honoring God and trusting that he will provide for all of our needs according to his riches in heaven. Worship is about remembering so great a sacrifice, remembering the atonement on the cross, remembering the victory of the empty tomb. It's what defines us as believers. See, I've told you before, I've studied all the major world religions. I've studied people worshiping. I was invited to watch their services. People worshiping ants. People worshiping a book. People worshiping a bed. People worshiping other people. And it was all empty and vain. And then I thought about the experiences we have as Christians, that when we worship, we're not worshiping any of those things. We're not worshiping a statue. We're worshiping a living God who sits on his throne. How much greater is that? Keep Christ, not just first place, because he could be third place tomorrow. It could be 80 degrees next week, and he won't be nowhere to be found. Neither will I be. That's if he's first place. He can't be first place. He needs to be the center of your life, the hub of your life. Plug everything else into him, and he will meet all of your needs and then some. You are a child of the Most High God in heaven, the Lord God Almighty. And friendship with him is reserved for those who worship him, who revere him. And I leave you with this thought. It's something similar that I've attached to other messages, but I just want to say as we close, you won't regret this either. You're not going to spend time with God and go, oh, I wish I could have watched another episode of this or that. I wish I could have went to this. I wish I could have went to that. No, you will be blessed, and you will look to be a blessing when you spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you that worship is so much more than man-made trinkets so much more than the style of music or what people wear or the color paint on a wall or the size of a building. We thank you that true worship, true in spirit and in truth worship, is about seeking you. Not just today, oh God, but on a regular basis. Lord, I pray for those today who are carrying heavy burdens in their life. Lord, I pray that as they seek you, oh God, that they will have a greater sense of your presence. Lord, I pray for those who are going back to the old place of slavery, of sin, Lord. I pray that you would remind them, oh God, those who are being tempted, to remind them of the place you've called them out of and to, oh God. And Lord, most importantly, let us focus, oh God, on all that you have promised. And may our hearts, oh God, be dedicated to you forevermore. Thank you, oh God. We declare and we proclaim, oh God, that in our own strength we would fail over and over again. So we ask that you would give us mercy and grace, oh God. Help us, oh God, to make you the hub of our life, the center priority. We sow these prayers now in the most powerful name in heaven and on earth. In the name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.